Couple minutes after 5 o'clock here on this first day of August. My God. You know what Ryan Rucco calls August? Very creative.
What?
Ryan Rucco calls August the Sunday of summers.
I get it.
How about that?
I get it.
Like, it's the Sunday in the summer season. Like, it's still a free day. It's still awesome. But you know work's starting real soon. And that's August. August is the Sunday of the summer.
I don't love it.
Really?
Nah.
I think that's one of the most brilliant quotes I've ever heard.
August is more awesome than Sundays.
I would call, like, Labor Day weekend the Sunday of summer.
But that's only a couple days.
Exactly.
Okay, fine. Anyhow, Ryan, if you're listening, I think it's brilliant. But right now, it's time for some more brilliance with Sean Morash.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Even I don't believe that. Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. All right.
I just love seeing his T-shirt on TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's got an old tweet of Tommy Lugauer. It says, Jalen Brunson is a good player. He's not great. This would be typical Knicks. Never ends.
Oh, shut up.
And Sean has that on a T-shirt, which is very creative. Anyhow, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. By the way, 15 likes. I also noticed now, something new about the shirt every time. Zero retweets, by the way.
Yeah.
Zero retweets.
Well, it's gotten a lot more since.
Yes. All right. Yesterday, I want to thank SNY. They had us out at their suite, Citi Field. That's where we weren't on following the Yankees yesterday afternoon. I ate around the ballpark yesterday, okay? They brought in some of their ballpark favorites, and I want to rank them because as the resident fat guy on the show, give you a little taste.
Okay.
All right? Maybe some of you had them, maybe some of you haven't. Mm-hmm. The five best foods I inhaled at the Citi Field SNY suite. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
The Shake Shack burger. I mean, the bread isn't just incredibly good. And it ranks up there. It's consistent. Now, you know what? There's always a line.
Yep.
But, I mean, to this day, I mean, think of how long Citi Field's been open. The Shake Shack burger still slaps there.
Yeah, it was delicious.
I'm surprised you put that at five. I mean, I inhaled that burger.
Well,
everybody did. It's so good.
I ate it slowly so I could savor it.
Yeah. I mean, it
says a lot about you.
Yeah.
Well, it also says a lot about the Citi Field food that it's five.
So did my glass of white wine.
Yeah.
So you take your time.
Loogie was like, white wine?
You're like my wife at a baseball game.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
The Big Mott's Mud Sticks. They were crispy. They were gooey.
Especially if you got them hot.
Oh,
forget it.
Oh, when that cheese.
That could have been one for me, by the way.
Oh, my God. They were so freaking good. The sauce was
Brooklyn
the perfect
took
texture.
Like six of them.
Oh, so good.
She kept going back.
So good. All right, here we go.
Number three.
The giant M&M cookies. Now, I don't know if these exist out in the regular part of the ballpark, but they were warm. They were chocolatey. The texture of the M&Ms were perfect. I practically made love to it around the seventh inning.
I couldn't believe how much you were eating. Like, I skipped half the stuff you're talking about because there's only so much I could take.
Yeah, well, I will say this, and this doesn't excuse me because I ate more than my share. It was the first time I can remember that I skipped dinner legitimately. I had the discipline to. I was uncomfortable on the way home.
Yes, and I did too. Yeah. I skipped dinner last night.
I watched my kids eat. I was in bad shape. Yeah. All right, I was like a wounded bear. Here we go.
Number two.
The chicken fingers, and I don't care how traditional this is.
Oh, I didn't even try them.
Dude. I have had such a bone to pick with Yankee Stadium in their changeover of rounded chicken fingers. Citi Field still maintains the flat, crispy fingers, and you sob those up in ketchup and slap them on your cheeks. There is nothing better. I love them.
Nah, the chicken fingers are special. Mm. I don't know what they do that Yankee Stadium doesn't. I can't put my finger on it.
Well, they're flatter.
Is that what it is? That's all it is?
Some are flat earthers, some are flat chicken fingers.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And that's
okay.
Me. All right. And here we go, number one.
Hold on. I don't want to turn this into another debate series. Did you just, as a resident fat guy, say that you dip chicken tenders in ketchup?
Yeah, we don't have to split the atom here. And I love all these dipping sauces. Ketchup's still the go.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think ketchup
and mustard.
That doesn't
help your case, by the way.
It doesn't
hurt. It just feels
case.
Like what a kid does.
Yeah, an 8-year-old.
Yeah. Number one.
He's in a suite. He's going to act like an 8-year-old.
Kids are awesome. Okay, number one. It's the Pat LaFrieda filet mignon sandwich.
Yeah.
Now, I never saw this
coming. I didn't have it. They brought them out, and I was, like, so full. Like,
I know.
I couldn't have it. I had the hot dog. I had the
I skipped the dog.
Steaks.
Yeah.
I had French fries.
Well,
I had everything.
That's the mistake. So, the Pat LaFrieda steak burger I've had before, I did not have it.
This
that's
is not a burger.
The steak sandwich,
it
is.
Yeah.
The mistake I made, the mistake you made, Teak, is that we went for the stuff that you can have all the time, like a hot dog.
Yeah. Well, we also didn't know it was coming. So, and this isn't their fault. I'm thankful.
Right.
It was like a Royal Rumble. There was something new every two innings they were bringing into the suite to us. Had I known I was going to have a Pat LaFrieda steak sandwich, I would, and I'm not lying, I had 12 chicken fingers at this point,
12?
Multiple fries,
12.
Four mozzarella sticks, and a Shake Shack burger, and then they put the steak out there under my nose. And I said, I can't not have this.
Nah,
that's what put me over, but it was so damn good.
That is impressive, Sean.
All right.
Yeah, that is impressive.
And for the record, let's just close this with Cinco de Five, but we also found out yesterday, Evan Roberts doesn't put a condiment on his hot dog. He instead dips his hot dog.
That's right.
Tiki, yes.
And what?
Well, I'll explain it to you, and I'll show you why it makes a lot of sense.
This could be an Evke debate series, please.
Mustard.
Excuse me?
Please say mustard.
Mustard, yeah. I'm a mustard guy.
Just making sure.
Bro, I'll dip anything in a mustard. I'll dip French fries in a mustard. Gross. I'll dip my chicken fingers in a mustard. I am a big, big mustard guy. So here's my...
Genitals? That's got to be your dog, though.
Only one time. So... Here's my thinking on the dipping of the hot dog. So if I put mustard on the hot dog,
yes.
I've made my commitment. The mustard's on the hot dog. Hopefully I put enough. Maybe I put too much.
It,
I don't know.
It enhances the hot dog.
Hold on. I agree with you. Okay. I love mustard. But when you pre-put the mustard on, you now have married the decision of how much mustard you've put on the hot dog. Okay? Stick with me. If I put nothing on the hot dog, but I've got mustard right here, like on the side, and I dip it, every bite can be as much mustard as I want. I could go deep into the mustard. I can go a tiny bit of mustard. Dude, I can skip mustard. I can say, you know what?
So odd. That makes no sense.
How does it make no sense?
Because
you can say I'm odd. You can't say it doesn't make
just
sense.
Just put the mustard as you want it, because you've had it. How many times have you had a hot dog?
A million times.
Exactly. Huh. So you know exactly how much mustard to put on.
No, but I'd rather dip
it. Open the bun just a little bit so it's not right on top of the hot dog. It's just on the side so it measures it perfectly for you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's what the side of the hot dog bread is for.
You're making uncomfortable noises, Sean. Please stop.
The way he's describing the way you lather up a dog. I love it.
Exactly. I know how to put mustard on a hot dog. I'm saying I prefer being able to dip it so that I can control the amount of mustard every single bite. Like, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
But here's inherently where you don't relate to the audience and the everyday hot dog eater.
Okay.
Evan, by making the commitment to dipping the hot dog, you're telling us you're going to take a while with it.
Mm.
People don't eat hot dogs
that
way.
That thing
you
is
hold
gone.
It in your That's, hand.
It's gone in 30 seconds.
Most people never actually put down the hot dog.
Yes.
Not that they eat it like Kobayashi, but like it never leaves their hand.
So let me answer that a couple of ways.
Agreed.
If I'm going to
Agreed.
A barbecue in which I'm standing around, of course, you guys are right. I will lather it up. I'll go to town. I am sitting at a baseball game in which I have a table basically in front of me. I have time. I got all the time in the world. So if I'm at a table, whether it is at a barbecue, whether it is at a baseball game, I have the time to dip and enjoy the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if I'm walking around at a tailgate or at a barbecue, it doesn't make sense. Now I'm holding two things. I got the hot dog, I got the dipper, but if I have
SMY,
the
you
dip,
got that?
Excuse me?
Nothing, keep going.
If I've got the dipper right there for me, all I've got to do is place the dog inside, squish it around a little bit, and have as much mustard as
you
I want.
You were so overthinking a hot dog.
I don't get
so overthinking.
Teague,
a hot
I'm
dog.
Disappointed. You don't think this is brilliant?
I mean, if it was anything other than a hot dog, I might agree with you.
What does that mean?
9 months later, you got a pigs in a blanket.
I know.
Like, I don't know. What's the problem that it's a hot dog?
Because of pigs in a blanket. That's exactly what you.
It's
do
actually
pigs
very
in a
similar to pigs in a blanket,
but it's a hot dog.
Oh, but so what? I want to be able to have as much mustard as I want.
Right.
I thought it was brilliant, and you guys judging me. I mean, my God.
I'm glad I didn't see this.
Yeah, you didn't see it. Sean did. He thought I had like 12 heads.
Believe it or not, I'm going to defend Evan here.
Oh, thank God. You, Loogie.
That's Evan, the guy who had two salads yesterday, by the way.
Well, I'm a lean cuisine. I had a wet lunch. I had three Coronas. Evan, when he's at a baseball game, he's scoring a game. Number one, he doesn't want to get mustard on a scorebook. Number two, everything is like making love when Evan's at a game. Everything is real smooth and caressing, so he's dipping the hot
smooth,
dog.
Smooth, yeah.
He's writing Jeff McNeil's name down at a piece of paper. So he's not an animal like Sean, like he thinks the food's like he's going to the electric chair, like I said before. He wants to take his time with it. That's
Do
it.
You know how much I ate by the time Evan finished that hot dog and started it?
A lot.
Like four meals worth.
Right.
If mustard spilled on the chair, he would eat one.
It's funny. I didn't even think about the scorebook.
Yeah,
that was
what
also,
about my scorebook
like you could have mustard dripping
no
nah,
I can't
bit
have that.
I know, just a little bit down the side, well, and you're not paying attention, and it falls on the scoreboard.
Listen, it's happened. It's ruined. It's happened before. So, like, there are mustard stains on some of my old scorecards, and it's just part of the battle. Like, you're out of game. It happens. There's still some wetness on some of the pages. I am proud of myself. I scored the entire game, but when I was trying to schmooze and have conversations, and Sean will tell you, I actually walked away from my scorebook for an inning at a time and talked to people. Oh. Can you confirm that, Sean?
He did, yeah. And then he went back to like fill in the blanks. I got to give him credit.
How did you fill in the blanks?
I went to my phone, and I remembered a lot because while I'm talking to people.
You're watching.
Like, I had a really interesting conversation. I don't know if he wants his everything on blast, but with a guy who has a lot of power in terms of the in-game experience.
Yes.
Very nice guy. Yeah, met him before. I gave him my opinions, whether it was on giveaways or start times.
Or playoff tickets.
Or playoff tickets. And so while I was having this conversation, I wasn't scoring the game. Now, did I see what was happening? Of course. So I was able to go back and fill it in, some with my memory and some with the MLB app. And I think you guys have to admit, as much as you think I'm crazy, I did a pretty good job with that.
If I'm always going to crush you, I have to be fair. That was a brilliant display of being able to be social whilst some Ev might say having your cake and eating it too.
I'm a loser. Right. Thank you very much.
I was actually pretty shocked that you were being that social.
Thank you, Tiki. Really was. Well, seems like not a compliment, but
no, you're usually just scoring.
Well, I understood that SNY invited us. I wanted to be social.
Yeah. I'm proud of you, Evan.
Thank you, Tiki.
Myself and program director Ryan Hurley left the game together.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we got to Woodside train station, two people had one question only about the game. What inning did Tiki leave?
Would you like to answer that to the people?
Yes, but it was not fully my decision because we had nothing to do. Otherwise, I would have stayed. It was a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, Brooklyn, who was with me,
had
cheer practice.
Fair enough. I accept that.
And it took an hour and 5 minutes to get there, all the way to CJA in Kenilworth, New Jersey.
Very nice.
It took a long time.
Yeah.
I had to go north to go south. But at least I don't have to go to the city.
That's right.
And the answer was mid-sixth.
Mid-sixth. Wow, the game was pretty much over. By the way, John Mara's met the media. We'll analyze if he said anything interesting coming up in a few minutes. Let's go to Devin in Farmingville. What's up, Devin?
Hey, guys. So this is a rare opportunity to stick up for Evan. As much as he's getting killed, I seriously respect and defend your, weirdness of the OCD on how you're eating the hot dog. And not only that, the way that you change it based on your location, I respect that so much because I'm the exact same way.
Thank you very much, Devin. See, we're all a little bit weird. Some of us aren't afraid to admit it. Look, you have to be a chameleon. Very similar to me scoring the game intently versus not scoring the game intently yesterday in the suite. I respect and understand that we were given a cordial invite.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't going to just sit there, head in the book.
And be antisocial.
And be antisocial. That's why when I have been invited to higher echelon games, I've politely said no because I know I can't do that.
Right. You'd rather sit in your seats.
Correct. And I know I will be antisocial, and that's not fair. Same thing with a hot dog. If you're able to sit down and use the condiments however you want to use the condiments, you can dip.
Yeah, makes your life easier because it puts you more in control.
That's right. If I'm at a barbecue in which I can't put said stuff down, then I've got to react to it. I got to just lather up the dog with mustard and move around.
And you can't, you still have this gag thing?
I have a gag thing?
Don't you have a gag thing if you're eating something and it just... So you have to eat it slow.
Hold on, Teak. I got breaking news about that.
Uh-oh.
So I have a little bit of an issue choking, okay? I think it's a little acid refluxy.
Uh-huh.
Take a pill. The pill sort of helps, not fully.
You didn't take it?
No, I got beggar news. And this may be controversial, but I really don't give a rat's ass.
That's all right. Let's hear it.
When I was in Mexico, I had a conversation with my third cousin once removed in law. And he told me that they got medicine in Mexico that the FDA won't approve.
Oh, geez.
And so he gave me a very special pill.
Oh, you illegally brought it back into the United States?
I took said pill. I ate the biggest piece of steak, never had an issue.
Really?
I then went to I didn't go. My third cousin, once removed
in-law,
went to said convenience store and went bulk on the medicina. And guess what? I am hopped up on Mexican drugs that protect me from choking.
Nice.
What are you, Pablo Escobar? Did you bring him over through the border?
I declared it. It wasn't a problem. I bought a pill at a...
Wait, you seriously declared it?
Yeah!
Come on.
No problems! It's not like it's illegal here. It's just that they don't produce it here.
Nice.
And so now I don't have a choking problem anymore.
I went to Ireland. They're like, do you have any alcohol? Nah. Didn't bring anything back.
He smuggled. He's a smuggler now.
What I can't understand, and maybe I'll do more research on this, like I'm dead serious now. Why would our government not approve a drug that's so good, and yet in Mexico, they're like, what do you mean, there you go?
Oh, I didn't realize this mic was on.
You got
no, because I was going to say, when you turn blue in 4 weeks, that's why.
Right.
You don't know what you're putting
it's
in your system.
It's not, I don't know.
It's an election year, Ev. Let's stop, you know?
Oh, yeah. You guys can believe it's not healthy. I believe Big Pharma's got something to do with this. Mm. Well, guess what, Big Pharma? Big Pharma to you. Because I got my Mexican pills, and I'm doing
whatever
great.
You want now.
That's right. I can go crazy on steak now. So to answer your question, yes, I've had a choking problem. And that partially.
But it feels solved now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Dude, Mexico's batting 1,000 when it comes to this pill.
Hmm?
I'll let you know if I have a choking issue, and I'll blame the country.
Right.
And I'll say, maybe the pill was a little overrated. In fact, would you want me to bring the pills in tomorrow to show you?
I mean.
I may have a picture of it.
I want to get you in trouble.
How could I get in trouble? I didn't do anything wrong.
You brought a narcotic across.
It's not a narcotic. You shoved it deep down our throats.
You're a smuggler.
It's not a narcotic. Oh, you know what? I have a picture of it. Here it is. What is that?
It's I don't know. Tegoprazin? I don't know.
I have no idea either.
As long as it works. Whatever.
I don't know what I'm sticking in my system.
Official.
I love that it says tableta in Espanol. It says Vía de Administración Oral, which means you got to put it in your mouth. Give me the meat. I want the meat. All right. I've really got to get my head straight. We're going to take a very quick break. Lugie promised it's only going to be 3.5 minutes, and we're going to find out what John Mara had to say about the New York Giants. Plus, I promise more of your phone calls. People want to talk about hot dogs, how weird I am, and the Mets. It's a great combination. 888-808-1019. There's a crazy baseball story. It's not crazy. It's more when you look at the whole grand scheme of things, it's crazy. Mike Trout, one of the greatest players maybe of our generation, who barely plays baseball anymore. He never plays. He's always hurt. 29 games this year, 82 last year, .119 in 22, 36 in 2021. He hasn't had a full season really since 2020, and that wasn't a full season. Mike Trout's officially out for the season. So his season will end after 29 games.
And he was out there on a bad team for so many. What, do you have one playoff?
He has made the postseason in his career one time.
One time. And it was one series.
It was one series in 2014, and he went 1-for-12 with a home run.
Right.
So he owns an .083 career postseason batting average. Obviously not all his fault. He is still owed $37 million every year until 2030. So he's got this insanely awful contract. Till 2030.
That's 6 more years, and he hasn't played. And the likelihood of him playing is lower because this is a meniscus tear. He tore his meniscus earlier this year, had a surgical procedure, and now it's re-torn?
Yeah.
That's what I'm reading.
Yeah.
It's the same knee, same issue. How is he expected to play again if the repair of a torn meniscus tears again before you ever get back and play again?
Mm.
And to compound it is that he played on a very bad team out west that nobody saw in real time.
I know. So if his career really ends like this,
yeah,
in an era where a lot of teams make the playoffs, I can't say everybody does, he has one postseason appearance. He did put together a 7-year run that is incredible. I mean, the guy won 3 MVPs. It's pretty damn good.
And he was second in 3 of the other years.
Right. Let's see. He won the Rookie of the Year, second in MVP, second in MVP, first, second, first, fourth, second, first. That's insane. And this could be the end of his career, though I'll give you a little preview of a discussion we may have for about 20 minutes, let's say in early February.
Is he worth it on a flyer?
Hey, Yankee fans, Met fans, would you take Mike Trout and absorb the rest of that contract? He's got 6 years left, making 37 per.
Yeah, I don't think the Yankees would, only because of Hal's statements and about not wanting to spend money on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mets might.
Yeah, it's one of those things where
if Pete Alonso doesn't resign.
Well, screw Alonso, Juan Soto, it doesn't matter. If Steve Cohen is made from money and money doesn't matter,
yeah,
and I don't have to give anything up, I'm literally just absorbing that awful contract, would I pay a ridiculous tax for the possibility that Mike Trout gives me a couple of Mike Trout years? Hey, it ain't my money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, no
doubt. I wouldn't give up anything of value, obviously.
No, you couldn't because he's just not reliable enough to be healthy. And what is he, 32 now?
He is right now 32 years old.
Right.
He'll be 33 actually next week. So he's essentially 33 years old. His birthday is on August 7th. And he's barely played. I mean, this year he's played 29 games. The year before that, 82. So it's sad. It really is because he's a great player. And I think we want to see great players challenged in the biggest of spots.
But even when he was great, I still felt like I never saw him.
Because of the Angels, because of the West Coast, and because, like you said, they were never in the playoffs.
Yeah.
One time. Real quick before we get to your calls, John Mara spoke to the media today. It usually happens maybe once or twice a year. Sean Morash, what are the highlights of what John had to say?
All right, so I'm going to give you three doors to choose on sound. You could choose none, one, two, or three. First of all, how do you feel about Daniel Jones' contract heading into the year?
Most important one.
Okay, so you want to hear that.
Yep.
So do you even want me to present the other two yet?
Well, we may hear the other two. How about you present it as, do you want to hear this one? Yes, then we play it.
Okay.
And then the next one is, do you want to hear it? If we say no, we throw it away.
All right, so what Evan said. So yes, we're going to hear the Daniel Jones contract.
Yeah.
And away we go.
Yeah, listen, I'm still happy we gave him that contract because I thought he played really well for us in 22. Last year he got hurt, and, you know, let's be honest, when he was playing, we weren't blocking anybody. So let's give him a chance with a better offensive line with some weapons around him to see what he can do. I was nervous about giving up too much to go and get a quarterback, but I was prepared to let him do that if that's what they wanted to do. We made a decision to stay with Daniel and add a weapon for him. I think that's going to work out for us.
I like it, John.
I love how honest he is.
Right.
Like, that was brutally, and I think because we saw Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw how the process went. We know John Mara didn't, like, giant step his way into Jerry Shane making a move.
He gave his preferences of what he would like to see done,
right,
both with Saquon and anything else. But ultimately, it was their decision.
Yeah.
And so I think we saw that on Hard Knocks, and he just kind of reiterated it right there. I love the part. We didn't block anybody anyway.
Right.
It's so true.
He's not wrong.
That's what every fan is saying.
That's true.
Well, not John trying to sugarcoat it. Not trying to protect anybody's feelings.
If you take away the millions of dollars, he acts like a fan. John Mara is very fan-like. The owners here in New York, he acts more like a fan than,
think about it.
Hal Steinbrenner or
James
Dolan.
Think about who his father was. Wellington Mara.
Yes.
And
the Duke.
The Duke. And the fact that John has been going to all games, but particular Giants games, since he was 5 years old.
Right.
And worked for the organization just like all the other kids and grandkids have. And eventually they either go on and get involved in the team or go off and do whatever else they're going to do. He's been around this team forever.
Yeah.
Like, in his entire life.
Right.
Of course he's a fan.
No, he does.
Of course he wants to see success.
What's the other one that you want to see if we're interested in?
All right, obviously, some not Tiki have questioned Brian Daboll hot seat expectations. He was asked flat out what his expectations are about the Giants heading into this year, and Brian Daboll
definitely got to hear this.
Okay, ready?
It's hard to articulate my expectations. I obviously want to show significant improvement over last year, but I'm not going to make any specific guarantees or demands or anything like that, but they know what I want to see, and I have a lot of confidence in this particular team. Their communication is great, and I think we've added some good pieces. Now it's time to show everybody.
So they won 6 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's basically saying is we need to be better.
Yeah.
So if they went 4-13, I don't think they're going to go 4-13. In fact, if you rewind the Odyssey app, we opened this show with our August 1st win totals. They may change over the next few weeks, but I told you I think they're going to win 8 games. Tiki told you he thought they were going to win 9 games. Sean said they'd be at 7. Loogie said they were going to win 13 or something.
11.
13, or 11. Sorry, I exaggerated.
13
it.
Sounds better, though.
Yeah. It does. All of those numbers, even Sean's, would be improvements off of last year.
Of course.
If they don't improve, do you take that as, okay, then he'll blow it up and then he'll fire everybody?
I don't think he'll blow it up. I think he'll express his disappointment. That's what you'll hear.
So he'll say, I'm disappointed, but you guys get another year.
Right. I'm going to let them stay the course because of what they're trying to build here.
Yeah.
And you felt that watching Hard Knocks. Just not to keep going back to it, but it kind of gave us an insight on what their communication, what he's alluding to, was really all about. Felt like everybody, even when the door was shut, was kind of an open door policy for them. And so it feels like the right team.
Mm.
And so if things go awry, let's face it, it's because Daniel Jones got hurt or some other key cog was unavailable. They're not going to be bad enough to not hit those expectations that he's alluding to.
I don't mind John Mara specifically in this moment, in this situation, being as nonspecific as he was.
Mm-hmm.
I mind Woody Johnson because I think with a team with higher expectations like the Jets, you should simply say, hey, we better make the freaking playoffs.
Has Woody spoken on this yet?
I think it was at the end of last year, and but he not, wouldn't make that guarantee right, that I think not, we all wanted.
But not after current construction of this year's team has been put together. He hasn't talked about it, because he should.
I think the last time he spoke was at the end of the season. I don't think it was any time recently.
I haven't heard anything, but you got to know what the expectation is.
No, and I think
it's
for
win and go deep, or this thing could get blown up.
Yeah, no, it will. I think like Woody is in very much a position to say there's a playoff mandate. Mm-hmm. I think Jet fans are starving for that. With this team, with where they are, a playoff mandate would be stupid.
Yes.
Like if John Mara actually said, I was a playoff mandate, we'd say, what? So I do think it's very, very different.
Okay, last but not least, that answer is more on Dable. This is in response to everybody saw your feelings on Saquon Barkley letting him go, John. Does that raise the stakes on the expectations for Joe Shane watching Barkley walk out the door? You care to hear that?
I mean, I guess so, but I don't even care anymore.
You're so done with Saquon.
It's not relevant.
Yeah. Well, this
you're dead to me.
I agree with you, though. This is in terms of, I think, what all the fans saw, which was he preferred to keep Barkley and Shane chose that.
Before you play the clip, Saquon Barkley to fully understand something if he's listening, because this may get back to him. Tiki had no problem putting that Breece Hall jersey on. And a part of why he put that jersey on is because you're dead to him. Okay? Because there is, Saquon, with all due respect, you've had a hell of a career. I want to make this very clear to you. There's a new sheriff in town.
Mm.
And that sheriff's name is Breece Aloysius Hall.
Dante actually, Miller?
No, Devin Singletary.
Guys.
Tyrone Taylor?
Tracy. Tyrone Tracy.
Oh, Tracy.
Taylor's on the Mets.
That's right. Why are you guys rooting the moment? I mean, you got a beautiful Tracy. You got a beautiful Breece Hall jersey right behind you, Dave.
Yeah, right.
You can put that on again if you want it.
Yeah, no, I won't.
He's done. He did it once for me, and that's it.
That's right.
Some might say that jersey is now dead to him.
All right, what did he say about the expectations for Joe Shane now that he let Saquon Barkley leave?
It doesn't go well for you guys?
Not really. You know, I mean, every year there's going to be a personnel decision that I'm not 100% in favor of, but at the end of the day, you let the general manager and the coach, particularly if they have a unified conviction, make the decisions, and then about it later. But that was the decision that they made, and no, I wasn't crazy about it at the time. I didn't want to lose him, but I understood what their philosophy was, and you got to let them do their jobs.
Mm. I got a sick feeling in my stomach.
You know what? Go ahead.
Do you know what my feeling is?
No, go ahead.
Completely unrelated. I'm so sorry. That's what Steve Cohen's going to say if they lose Alonzo.
Uh-huh.
It's the same card, like,
right.
Hey, look, I'm doing my Steve imitation. Steve likes to put his hands up in the air, like, oh, that's what I'm doing. I let David make a decision.
Right.
David Stearns, you know, he's...
The question will be, will he add that little caveat that tells you all you need to know about the internal workings of the Giants? And if it's the same with Steve Cohen, with the Mets, on Pete Alonzo, we'll find out.
Which is, I let my guy do his job?
Nope. Uniform.
What do you mean?
Meaning everybody had the same opinion.
Oh, everyone had the same opinion to let Saquon go?
Yes.
Did he say that in that last clip?
Re-listen to that clip.
Yeah, play that one more time. My apologies. I didn't pick up on that one, but that is very, very interesting. I guess what really jumped out at me was him saying, I disagreed with it.
He disagreed with
it. But I allow my GM to do his thing.
GM and assistant GM and scouts and everybody else.
Yeah.
Doesn't go well for you guys?
Not really. You know, I mean, every year there's going to be a personnel decision that I'm not 100% in favor of. But at the end of the day, you let the general manager and the coach, particularly if they have a unified conviction, make the decisions. And then
there you go.
You know,
unified conviction.
Really of Dable and Shane. That's how I took that.
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, it's essentially the same thing.
Mm.
That they were unified in saying, hey, we're not going there to that price point. We're going to let him go.
Right, and we'll be okay without him.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the fact, and this is the thing I always battle with. Like, I use the Alonzo thing as an example because it is upcoming and I am a fan and Steve Cohen is, like John Mara, mm-hmm. supposedly a fan. I want Pete Alonzo to come back. Now, I wouldn't do it in a stupid contract. I would try to be smart about it. I want him back for a myriad of reasons. If Steve agrees with me, it would bother me if Steve overstepped David Stearns,
yeah.
because you hired David Stearns to make those decisions. So even if you disagree with Joe Shane, like you're a Giant fan out there right now, I don't think there's many of you who feel this way, but you're like pissed they let Saquon go, right? You happen to be in that camp. And you hear this, would you really have wanted John Mara to kind of Bigfoot Joe Shane and Brian Daboll? No.
No, you definitely wouldn't.
So it creates like this mixed view of I'm glad that you agreed with me,
yeah.
but I'm also glad that you ultimately let the people you hire make the decision.
Right. You hired them to do their job. You have to let them do their job now. That's what it comes down to.
No doubt.
And Saquon, I honestly feel like part of it was the marketing side of it.
Mm.
Right. When he talked about it on Hard Knocks, he was talking about how he was his most popular player.
Right.
I mean, obviously he was the best player some of those years, but he also was unavailable a lot.
Yeah.
And last year he had 100-yard game. And that was the Jet game.
Yeah, because they gave him the ball 112 times.
That's right. So I know that Saquon has this like emotion around him for this team, but they think they can be better without him.
Yeah.
Or just as good without him.
Well, guess what? We're going to find out.
We will.
Let's go to Frank in Belmar. Hey, Frank.
What's up, Frank?
Hey, Evan, I don't agree with you very often. That dipping of the hot dog was spot on.
Another one?
Thank
Come
you.
Come on, Frank, really?
I appreciate that.
You know when you get toppings on a hot dog, whether it's sauerkraut or onions, you never get enough, you know, the right measurement of mustard.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why it's very good to have a side dish where you can dip into that mustard and get
Thank
just
you.
As much
Thank you, Frank.
Frank, I think what Frank and you, Evan, probably have done in your years of hot dog eating
mm-hmm.
and adding condiments on that hot dog is you rush to put your condiment on. You rush.
It's not rushing. It's I may want to change my mind as yes. I'm dipping this
right.
hot dog.
Now, maybe it's just safe eating, but you rush to put it on.
I love when people say, I disagree with you about everything, but this is our common ground. There's nothing better in America than when you find your common ground. And me and our last caller, we have our common ground. Joe is in Brick.
Yep.
What's going on, Joe?
What up, Joe?
Hey, guys, what's up? Love the show.
Thank
Just
you.
Out of curiosity, I don't know if I heard Evan, and it's actually kind of funny because I usually agree with a lot of the things you do say, Evan, but
opposite.
I could have sworn you just said that if the Jets had a playoff mandate this year, it would be stupid, and I don't understand that.
Nah, luckily you heard me incorrectly,
yes.
John. I appreciate you calling because
yes.
I don't want it to be construed as the opposite. I said for the Giants to have a playoff mandate, which John Mara did not do, would be stupid.
Yes.
For the Jets, they should. It would be
they
important.
Almost have to.
Yes. Right. And look,
we given the expectation that everybody on that in that organization has talked about.
Yes.
Going back to last year, and they kind of excused themselves because of the injury.
Right. They walked out of it.
Yes.
Like, I think every team is different. Like, we were talking about the Mets and Yankees trade deadline a few days ago. To me, it was completely different. The Giants and Jets expectations, completely different. John Mara did not put a playoff mandate out in that audio we just played. And
mm-hmm.
I said, I agree. It'd be dumb for the Giants to do that. I want the Jets to do that. I would like for Woody Johnson to do that. He is not.
Nope.
And look, what I calm myself down about two things. Number one, I think there's a chance Woody Johnson isn't even owning the team by the time we get to February.
Is that right?
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be appointed. If Trump wins
oh,
the
I
election,
see.
I think he's going to give him another ambassador.
Reappointed?
Somewhere else, yeah. Get another ambassadorship job. I think when you invest money in a political candidate, especially one that you opposed as vehemently as Woody did back in the day,
right.
you do it because you're kissing ass to get a job.
Right.
And that's what Woody's doing. And by the way, I'm not saying that in some kind of malicious
already,
way.
And he already had one.
He already had one.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens. Woody Johnson is kissing his ass so that he gets a job. And he will. If Trump, I don't know who's going to win the election. I have not made that prediction yet. I will later. Mm. I haven't handed out my keys to the election yet.
Are you going
to
wait for a hypothetical debate?
I'm going to wait until the Monday before Election Day.
Okay.
And I know we will make our predictions. I think that's very important. We need to be held accountable for our
yes.
dumb political predictions.
Just at the very least, to encourage people to also go vote.
Well, you better vote. I mean,
mm-hmm.
local elections, presidential elections, do it. I mean, people died for our right to vote, so go vote. But anyhow, I don't know who's going to win the election is my point. But I'll tell you on the Monday before, but if Woody is on the victor side, it's going to be Christopher Johnson firing people in February. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I wonder if a part of Woody's like, I'm not even going to talk about this team. Yeah. I'm not going to be here in a few months. But I would want a mandate, even if a mandate isn't needed because we know a mandate exists. Like, there's no way, Teak, Robert Saleh could survive if the Jets miss the playoffs.
Yeah. If this is an 8-9 season.
He's gone.
Everyone is gone.
Probably. Like, I didn't go as far to say Joe Douglas and Aaron Rodgers, but you're right.
I mean,
those three are probably gone. Probably.
Think of the team that's been put together. I mean, it has to be. Now, actually, I think it maybe complicates it if Woody is not there and Chris is now trying to make these decisions independent of Woody.
Mm.
Right? Does he give him autonomy? Does he say, you can do whatever you want? Or does he say, you need to consult with me before you make some of these decisions? Even though I'm overseas somewhere, ambassadoring somewhere, it's still my team.
Yeah.
So it could get complicated.
Who hired Saleh? Was it Robert or Christopher? I'm sorry, Woody or Christopher? Because Christopher...
That's a good question.
...hired Adam Gase. Like, Christopher Johnson was the one who was saying, Adam Gase is coaching to where offense is going. He's the one that we beat up for the Adam Gase hire. But they hired Saleh, remember, after the 20 season. So this is January of 2021. This is a very murky period because there's a transition going on. I don't know. Can you Google the...
That's a good question because he probably was back already.
Did he leave his ambassadorship early? I'm trying to remember. Who hired Robert Saleh?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I'm going to ask Google. Google, who hired Robert Saleh? Christopher? By the way, I've heard rumors that Christopher Johnson's like so different politically. I heard he's liberal. I'm sorry. Is that supposed to be private information?
I'm sure it's public.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
When they hired him on January 19th, 2021, you can't make this up. It was a day before inauguration day.
No, it was not.
Yes. The quote comes from Christopher Johnson.
Oh.
After a thorough process and meeting with a number of talented coaches, it was clear to us that Robert was the right person to help us move forward. Quote, CEO Christopher Johnson.
Mm.
So Christopher is the one who... Now, look, did they speak on the phone?
Of course.
Probably.
I mean, he did say us. It wasn't me. It was us.
By the way, am I right about that Christopher's so different politically?
I don't know that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I apologize if I'm wrong.
I just know Woody. Because he's public about it. I don't know Chris's political leaning.
Woody, we know he stands behind Trump at rallies. I would just be curious, like, if they were so different politically, I wouldn't have thought this 10 years ago. Like, 10 years ago, who gives a crap? I used to fight with people about everything politically. Now I don't even talk about it because people are nuts. I'm not the nuts ones. You're the nuts ones. How do they have Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, maybe they were able to talk civilly about it, unlike most of America.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're related.
I don't know. I remember I used to fight with people about, like, Iraq. Now I wouldn't even touch it anymore. The war. We went to war, and it was very controversial, if you guys remember. Anyhow. What? Wait, we got more breaking news, Sean?
Christopher Johnson was listed as events co-chairman in support of John McCain's 2008 presidential campaign.
No, he's still a Republican. Okay, so he's a Republican. Okay. I don't know why. I thought I heard that. Maybe I'm wrong.
You're welcome. It took me 16 articles to find any kind of relationship.
Now, John McCain, very different than what's going on now. But nevertheless, I would then assume that I got that wrong. All right, I apologize. Let's go to, this guy wants to call me weird. Want to hear from him?
Mm, sure.
Bob and Comac. What's up, Bob?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good,
love,
man.
Love the show.
What's up?
Listen, two questions. One for Tiki and one for Evan.
Yeah.
Tiki, do you walk home at night through the door and tell your wife, I don't believe what Evan said today?
Sometimes it comes up because I get the token. Hey, how was the show today?
I'll say, token.
Oh, it was good, but you'll never believe what Evan did.
Okay, now, Evan, this is an important question.
Yeah.
You provided a lot of thought-provoking from me with respect to the hot dog.
Thank you.
Given the elongated nature of the hot dog, what do you do with the hamburger? Is it the same process?
It's a great question. Bob, great question. Thank you very much.
Oh, that is astute.
I do not like mustard with hamburgers. I do not. In fact, I don't like hamburgers. I like cheeseburgers. I'm a very big cheeseburger guy.
So the cheese sub serves as the condiment.
Not a fan of cheese and mustard missing. Messing with each other. I think it's one or the other. So when I have the cheeseburger, I go exclusive to cheese, no condiment. What's up?
I was just going to say, haven't we reached the point in society when you say hamburger, the cheese is assumed?
I don't know about that. No, I wouldn't say that. I think the cheeseburger is incredibly popular, but I don't think when you say hamburger, people assume cheese is on it. Like, I have to differentiate if I'm at a picnic.
Yeah, sometimes I don't want cheese.
But I think
I know what you're saying.
But like, I think
people just want to slap the cheese on.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just don't want cheese. I'd rather have, like, lettuce and some onions. And
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I think if you don't want cheese, it's you who needs to declare that. I think everybody assumes hamburgers.
Oh, so you're saying, like, if I was at a barbecue and I didn't want cheese, or let's say Tiki didn't want cheese, Tiki would have to say, I would like my hamburger without cheese.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like when I order, like, gin and water, I have to say, neat. No ice.
Exactly the same thing. Right.
I didn't pick up on that. I've always had to say cheeseburger. But I do not like cheese and mustard mixing together. Not a huge fan of it. If it is together, like let's just say I order a roast beef sandwich and they're mixed together, I'm not going to throw it out. I'm not going to like, I can't eat it, but it is not my preference. I'm either all in on the mustard or all in on the cheese. I don't like the mix.
When you say you don't put condiments on a burger, are you including lettuce, tomato, pickle, onions? Do you just do burger? You don't put anything
on it? That's it, man. Cheese, burger, that's it.
You are so like Brooklyn.
I'm like your 9-year-old daughter.
10. Yes.
The condiments are so much fun, though.
That's exactly how she eats a hamburger. Cheese and nothing else.
So we're very similar.
Very similar.
You and the 9-year-old.
Yes.
No, I buy that. I have very similar.
Can you do a round off back handspring back tuck?
What?
So you're not very similar.
No, I guess our similarities end there. You know what I'm similar to Brooklyn with, though?
What's that?
When Brooklyn came to the Met game the other night, other day, she was wearing a Francisco Lindor jersey.
Yeah, yesterday.
So she's a Met fan like I am.
That's the first thing I was required to do.
So is she a Met fan officially?
I mean, I don't know if she's a fan of anything, but when she goes someplace, she has to get a jersey.
No
matter where she goes. So went to a Red Bulls game the other day, she had to have a jersey.
Well, I would like to cordially invite you and your daughter to any Brooklyn Nets game you want. Just to see what happens.
She'll love that.
Yeah, doesn't she have to be a Nets
fan? She said she's never been to... Yes. Technically, because she says, oh, what's your name? Brooklyn. The architect. The Brian who was sitting next to us. Hey, you know where I'm from? And she always says when someone asks her that question... Brooklyn.
That's right.
Because she knows.
That's right.
She knows.
That's right.
Probably would be. She's never been to a basketball game.
Wow. All right. So. Well, any Nets game you want, you let me know.
All right. We'll go.
Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York. It's presented by Tri-State Cadillac. It's coming up next on SNY.